Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this midweek edition. It's Wednesday, the 23rd of May, 2012. Hope you're having a good day and surviving the heat and the winds and all of that. The home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's Intelligent Voice will be celebrating our one-year anniversary show here on KVOI 1 week from Friday. I may even bring a cake into the station. Rose's face just lit up. Yeah, Rosemary Brandt, my producer. I think I'll bring that marble cake in. We'll have our own celebration. We'll cut a piece of cake and eat it while we're on. No, we'll wait till after the show. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. You can hear our program on any one of three venues: my website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com. That's the site that is run by Dylan Smith and Mark Evans, and his site at tucsoncitizen.com. We try to make it as easy as possible. We understand everybody can't hear a live radio show, but by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we have the show posted for you. We get things rolling on this live edition with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. 30 minutes past the hour, it's our CEO interview series presented by Trio. Today we talk with Trio President and CEO Joe Snell. Close out the show with a report card on the Arizona economy from ASU economist Dr. Dennis Hoffman. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. The Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, 790-2040. Joining me in studio is Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. Ray, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill, on this windy day. I'm glad to be in your studio.
Well, you know, I say that the one time a year that it's really not all that pleasant to be around here is when you get those strong winds.
Yeah, the winds do kick up and the air quality goes down, but it's a beautiful day in Tucson. I'm happy to be here. Yesterday I did the John C. Scott Show remotely, and it's just so much nicer to be in studio. I feel not just more personal about the interview, but it's good to see your staff and all the other members of the KVOI family that are walking around this building.
Is it true you've never voted yes on a Pima County budget?
That's true, Bill. I've never had a budget that I could support in the Pima County history that I've served on the board. There have been some real high water marks with the budget. Back in 2007, 2008 was probably the largest budget that the county had ever voted 3-2 usually to pass, and that's on a Democrat-Republican party line. But I will say that when I began on the board in 1997, Bill, the budget was about $750 million. Today, it's about $1.2 billion. $750 million to $1.2 billion almost is just a staggering reflection that government is too big in Pima County, and for my ability to vote for a budget, it would have to come down quite substantially.
How about tax increases? Those of us who are residents of Pima County, what can we expect?
Well, the tax rate in most houses will go down. There's been some fluctuation of assessed values, of course, neighborhood by neighborhood, but the budget is obviously smaller. There's less employees. That's due to privatization. But still, Bill, it's an election year, and I said yesterday on a program that I was kind of surprised that the majority did not make a better effort to lower the tax rate. Just 9 cents would have lowered the median income, median-priced home in this valley by $128. Now, that $128 could be perfect for back-to-school supplies or maybe a couple gas tanks on a foreign or a small car, economy car. And in the end, Bill, I just think that I was surprised that the board did not make a better effort to reduce taxes this year. When it comes to taxes, I think the philosophies of the two parties certainly come right to a head on budget day.
Ray Carroll is with us. If you would like to ask a question of Mr. Carroll or if you have a comment, 790-2040, 790-2040. And most people have potholes on their mind in Pima County. There is money coming for some repairs, not a lot of money, but looks like you've freed up $20 million over the next 13, 14 months.
Yes, in the last 10 weeks, we've certainly filled every pothole that we've had reported, but the people are the eyes and ears. And it's not so much that we can have a chance like this on a radio program, but we do. If you have a pothole, you need to let your board member know, 740-8126, or you can call the transportation department directly. The important thing is we have a very large county, Bill, 10,000 square miles, and in District 4, when I receive a phone call about a pothole, I certainly, if I can't go out and examine it, I can get a staff member to go out and fill it within a few days of being notified of it. Now, we are doing some repaving and some resurfacing and some large projects along Pima County, and that's where the majority of that $10 million from last year and $10 million from this budget allocations will go. But I do want to say that the routine maintenance and the deferred maintenance is going to be up to some of these neighborhoods. If they're county roads, please let us know, and we'll get out as soon as we possibly can. I have some regular callers, Bill. They tell me about a few things. One is potholes, and another one are illegal signs. And this year, they're a little upset at some candidates for putting signs out earlier than their election. They're that intelligent about the code and the rules that they're already noticing some candidates are putting up signs on public intersections, in right-of-ways, in medians, and they know that's illegal. So those are about the traffic calls that I'm receiving this spring. And looking into the summer, I think we're going to cure a lot of deferred maintenance on the pothole issues, on other types of median cleaning. And in the end, I think the tug of war or the standoff that we had with the legislature has really come to benefit the county taxpayers. I met with the Senate President, Steve Pierce, just yesterday. We spent a couple of different meetings together, and our HERF monies are going to be restored. They're not going to be taken down as much as they were in past years. So I think that's a victory for Pima County, and I think the issue between us is probably going to be much less controversial for the next year with the legislature, HERF monies, and the Board of Supervisors.
Ray Carroll is with us. I want to talk politics now. For the first time in many years, you will have a primary. You have a primary opponent. And I have said, as you know, Ray Carroll, all along, that the reason we are seeing, I believe anyway, all of the supervisors, I think all of will have competition in the fall, is about Rosemont. I think this is going to be a referendum on Rosemont. And your opponent is saying that, what did they label you, the principal opponent of Rosemont Copper.
Well, it's true. I think it will be dramatically influenced in campaign, not just style, but in money towards the Rosemont issue. Now, there's a lot of people, ex-politicians, in fact, people who have run for office. They've all lost mostly in their efforts, but they've all been hired by Rosemont. Why would Rosemont be hiring not geologists or miners, but political people, people who have been involved, especially in Republican politics, who have ran and lost? Those there's many on their payroll. And they're running campaigns against incumbents for the reason that they'd like to have some victory somewhere, because they haven't been getting many victories through the process of their application of the Forest Service. The EPA really knocked the draft environmental impact statement, said it was one of the worst they'd ever seen in recent years. I can say that they haven't been getting a lot of victories. Even the ACC, which is a majority Republican, has denied them to continue in a process without going back to the start. So I think that, you know, those ACC members will be challenged by the Rosemont political arm. They do certainly have a political vendetta that seems to be perking in these primaries and general elections that are evolving right now in our community. But, you know, I've always stood firm, Bill. I don't think the collateral damage is worth siting and starting up a new mine in the Santa Ritas that is going to be using 1.7 billion gallons of potable water. The water is going to lower the wells. It's going to deplete the resources that's most precious in the desert to all of us that have made our homes, our retirement homes, and the place to raise our young families. I'm sure that the cap water issue that has been really at the top of my list of issues that I'm opposed to the mine over is not going to be resolved. They're not willing to compromise about bringing cap water directly to the mine site, because because, Bill, it's not a reliable resource. Las Vegas and Phoenix and many other communities have a big take on Rosemont, a big straw into the Cap Water pipeline, and I just don't think that it's a reliable resource for the next 25, 30 years or the would-be life of a mine.
Dan is with us now on the Buckmaster Show. He is with Supervisor Ray Carroll. Go ahead, Dan.
Thank you, gentlemen. I have invested heavily over the years in mines, and the price of copper has recently gone up to $4 and above because of China growing. But what's going to happen when they get halfway through developing this mine and China has a depression and the price of copper goes back down below $3, even below $2? What's going to happen to that mine?
Thanks. Good question, Dan.
That's an excellent question, and I would have to imagine that that mine would be left as it at the very time that the market dropped out. You know, Rosemont Copper's stock has gone dramatically down. I don't know if you've invested in that stock, but they're at about $1.62 last I checked, and it's dropped precipitously. They have let go of some people, I've recently heard. The building boom in China is not going to be able to sustain the import of so much copper. And I do believe, Dan, that you know that in the community there are jobs currently available for skilled miners, for truck drivers, for laborers, not just at ASARCO, but at Freeport-McMoRan, both companies that I have a good collaborative relationship with down in the Green Valley, Sarita area. We've had worked out many issues together as a community, and my guess is that there's billions of dollars of mines that have been left as environmental brownfields because companies go bankrupt, companies pull back into their what other nation they might be from, and leave us to pay the bill in the West especially.
Can we take another one, Rose, before we take the break? Yes, let's go to Pat now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Pat. You're with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Mm-hmm. Ray, once again, you've proved yourself to be the best politician in this state that I've ever seen in 25 years, and want to thank you very much for your hard work. I'm a landscaper around here, and you know, as I see it, people move here for a high quality of life, for good air, for good water, for open space, not for destroyed mountains and dust in the air, and for Superfund cleanup sites, which is what this group will leave us with. But what we're going to do is we're going to kill the goose that laid the golden egg, and that is a quality of life that brings professional people here to retire and to live from all over the country and the world. Thanks for your effort, Ray.
Thanks a lot, Pat, and I can just hope that you're a Republican that lives in my district who will vote for me this August. Election day is August 28th, and early ballots go out on the 2nd of August, and certainly need people like you to support my candidacy because, you know, I am being tested. There is a campaign out against me that I think has been trying to smear me out of office, actually.
It's full of the hit piece, but we need to take a break right here. Ray Carroll is with us. When we continue, we've got a couple more calls ready to go on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
/12:22 on the Buckmaster Show. Support for our program comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. This is a beautiful facility, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Ray Carroll is with us, Pima County Supervisor. Joe is up next on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, Ray? I'll tell you what, you're up against a tough situation here. I am so with you when it comes to this Rosemont mine. One thing that never gets answered is the tainted water issue. You know, if you're a cattleman down there, tainted water is tainted beef. If you're a vegetable grower down there, tainted water is tainted vegetables. Tourism. Did people move out here and come visit to go visit a big open pit mine? I didn't move from Wisconsin out here to do that. That we're talking just this cheap, stupid, short-sighted, upfront money. It's really attractive to a rotted-out community here. But at the end of the day, if we're going to focus, we better pull our bootstraps up and use our God-given resources in smart, speaking to smart money, not cheap, upfront, extract one commodity to ruin three big other ones.
Thanks, Joe. I would say that the Sonoyta Valley believes its mine is a real threat to not only the ranchers and the agriculture, but that burgeoning wine industry that's coming out of Elgin and Sonoyta. You know, they do have a lot of ranches. Some are gentleman ranches. Sure, they're 20, 40 acres, but others are, these are cattlemen. This is a beef grower area, and I'm certainly concerned. I always say when you save the mountain, you save the river, and when you save the river, you save the town. Tainted water, whether it's cyanide or arsenic or whatever is going to be coming through, is not protected from getting into our aquifer. There is no lining. They're going to put like a French drain underneath their tailings pit, which is all on public land. The private land is where the mine is, but the public land, talk about, you know, quality of life, but talk about values of real estate. It goes both ways. This is our public land, and the runoff is our community, and you got to remember, save the mountain, save the river, save the river, save the town. You're exactly right, Joe. Thanks for calling.
1225 on the Buckmaster Show. Sally is next, and she wants to talk about the campaign being run against Ray Carroll by Sean Collins. Go ahead, Sally.
Yes, in past I have had the opportunity of meeting Mr. Carroll, and I want to thank you for having such a wonderful open-door policy, and your staff has always taken calls and gotten back with me, so you have an excellent policy. And listening to your opponent speak at one time, he insinuated that you work a part-time shift or something. As I said, I've never had a problem with being able to obtain any of my information through your office and stuff. Is this true? Do you work a part-time policy?
No, thanks for calling. This is a full-time job, and I'm a supervisor who's not had any other income or side business. I've just been at the board for these years to dedicate myself to the public service that I feel is noble and just. I've given my heart and soul, blood, sweat, and tears to this office, not had any other income, and certainly I've not enriched myself in this job. I've done what I can to serve the people. I've been accessible nights and weekends to the people that I've represented. But lastly, I've been accessible to the media throughout my career. I know there's rooms of people that might not want to be, addressed by me. And I've approached those crowds and been happy to be there, not just to convince them of my way or to neutralize them, but to really listen to them. I attend many, many breakfasts, lunches, and dinners when I'm on the menu, per se.
Do you think your opponent should be apologizing to you?
Well, politics is a difficult thing. I set myself into this job knowing that I needed some thick skin, but he should apologize to the treasurer of Pima County, Beth Ford, because, you know, what happened there was Randy Graff, who's linked at the hip, who works for Rosemont Copper, and who he got this guy to run, apparently, was talking to Beth Ford at a meeting, a luncheon, and she said that she's very thorough in her job. She checks every travel voucher, and once or twice, she's going to have to send a travel voucher out for additional receipt or additional information. And he goes, "Did you ever have to do that for Ray Carroll?" And she said, "Well, yeah, but he cured the problem. There was no deficiency, and it was not rejected in the end." Well, then the campaign of Mr. Collins put out a thing that said I'd forged travel vouchers, and she wrote Mr. Collins a very strong letter to say, "Look, I've gone over this. This is absolutely false. You have hurt my reputation. You have now, she believes he's unfit for public office." And he didn't respond to that letter. Guess who did, Bill? It was Randy Graff who responded to the letter. I'm surprised it wasn't on Rosemont Copper Stationery. But in the end, I can tell you that it's been it's going to be a summer filled with these types of accusations, and I'm going to have to refute them from time to time. I do think that he owed Beth Ford an apology. She's a public servant who's had an impeccable record, who's modernized that office, and who I support. And I think that was one of the early signs of the campaign that we're going to expect to see.
We've got less than a minute. A caller who didn't have time to go on the air but wants to know what's going to be the big issue with this budget in the coming year. Is there a particular issue that will emerge?
Well, more street repairs. I'm sure that each year myself and Supervisor Day put up an alternate budget to the one that's currently being considered by the majority. And, you know, 2 years ago we said we needed more street repair dollars. There's going to have to be some more emergency allocations to some of these street repairs. The deferred maintenance has really began to erode and not be safe. There's obviously a lot of other things. We hope one thing that doesn't emerge during this year's budget is any type of a natural disaster. But, Bill, I can tell you that haboob last week, and that's the big dust storms, and you probably saw it on the front page of the Daily Star the following day. Dust storms and the drought are really becoming a safety issue and a health issue for this community, and I hope they don't continue through the summer.
I'm telling you, this water issue is very serious. Tomorrow we have David Modier of the CAP on the show. We've had less than a half an inch of rain all year here, Ray Carroll.
We usually get 12.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Ray Carroll, thank you very much for being with us. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Bill, for having me in studio. I enjoyed being here.
Ray Carroll with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're coming up now on the bottom of the hour. We will be back. Stay with us.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. Polls are closing on day one of Egypt's first presidential election since the ouster of Hosni Mubarak. Lines have been long as voters choose from a field of 13 candidates, four of whom are considered front-runners. The two-day first round, not expected to produce an outright winner, a runoff will be held June 16th and 17th. Mitt Romney says American children are getting a third-world education because the system is failing. Speaking in Washington today, the Republican presidential contender also calls education the civil rights issue of our era, saying that minority students suffer the most. He's proposing a voucher-style system that would allow students to choose schools. A Democratic aide to the Senate Banking Committee says the panel wants to know more about Facebook's stock offering last week. Shareholders have sued Facebook and lead underwriter Morgan Stanley over the IPO. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Noble Hops Gastropub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than two dozen on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Well, Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1233. Well, every 3 weeks here on the Buckmaster Show, we introduce you to a leader of one of Arizona's largest companies and organizations. This is the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Incorporated, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, TRIO has facilitated the relocation and or expansion of more than 40 companies in the Tucson region, representing nearly 11,000 jobs and a $2 billion economic impact. For more information, visit TRIO, that's TREOAZ.org. And today we talk with Joe Snell, who for the past 6 years has been TRIO's coordinator for all economic development incentives in Southern Arizona, including spearheading the economic blueprint for the region, which has served as a strategic economic roadmap. He's an economic developer and has been for 25 years. Joe Snell has led the development efforts in Denver, New Mexico, and Kansas. He is the president and CEO of TRIO. Joe, how are you?
Bill, fine. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure, and we'll be talking in a few minutes with the chief ASU economist, Dr. Dennis Hoffman, who is optimistic about how things are looking. And earlier this week, Joe, on Monday, we had the state treasurer on the program, Doug Ducey, and he says sales receipts are looking good and the economy is improving. What's your characterization?
I would agree with that. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic that we're digging our way out of this massive recession we've experienced the last few years. We have seen quite a bit of pent-up demand from corporations looking to needing to expand and in some cases relocate. We're actually having the strongest year that we've had since before we went into the recession. So we're crossing our fingers so that some global events, major recession in Europe and other areas don't drag the overall economy down. But right now we're definitely seeing an uptick on all fronts and across all industries. Maybe a little different recovery than we've seen in the past. We've seen companies start to hire again, because there's demand that's been built up. Consumer markets are coming back, and their manufacturers are needing to gear up and as inventories get low, produce goods. What we're not seeing, though, is these companies aren't necessarily doing a lot of capital purchases with capital investment. In other words, they're leasing buildings instead of buying them. So they're still hedging their bets a little bit, but we're feeling better than we have in several years.
There's a lot of competition, as you know, for the economic development dollar, and Tucson competes with cities all over the country. What is the chief selling point right now that you are using, you and your colleagues at TRIO, to bring new business here?
Well, we've learned over the last few years it's important that we play our game and we win on the assets we have, whether it's relocating a company or growing our own. We need to play to our assets, and those assets overwhelmingly are the scientific and technical talent that we have in this community. We probably are never going to win on companies that are needing tens of thousands of employees because we don't have the critical mass for it, probably the air service for it. But where we are winning and where we're going to continue to win is because of the strength of the universities in this region and some of the high-tech employers. And if we target the right industries, we can win on very scientific and technical labor being a real critical asset.
How about incentives, Joe Snell?
Well, I got to say that's been improved dramatically in the last year and a half because of the Arizona Commerce Authority that did some restructuring and realized that incentives aren't—you shouldn't lead with them, but they are something that can separate markets when they get close. And their new $25 million closing fund at the state level, we've tapped into a few times this year, and it has been a game changer. We still need to work on a more balanced portfolio on the local levels, but we're getting there. So it's much better than it was even 5 years ago.
And one challenge has to be these surveys that continue to show the city of Tucson is not a business-friendly community. That is something that you're going to have to, and you have to probably deal with almost every day.
Well, you know, historically, we, and whether the, you know, I don't put too much credit into high rankings or low rankings, but you know, perception becomes reality in a lot of people's minds. And historically, this the city of Tucson has been perceived as a poor place to do business. I would say this, I think things are changing. We have a new mayor that's very committed to serving business and embracing what it takes to compete. New city staff that, frankly, I'm very optimistic in working with. And you know, I think it's important that this region, we tend to sometimes focus too much on the holding on to the past instead of building to the future. And, you know, we might have historically had that perception, but we need to build to the future and make sure that that gets erased over time.
You know, you mentioned bioscience. I'm a huge backer of the bioscience community here, not just because Innovation Park up in Oro Valley is one of my sponsors for the show, but I strongly believe in this sector of the economy, and I think there's tremendous growth there with Santa Fe and with Roche up at Innovation Park. That's an area that still, I believe, has lots of growth potential.
I agree. I think there's two or three key industries that, when I talk about playing our game, that we can build on. And biosciences is a specifically in the diagnostic area, personalized medicine, a few of these things are something we're working on very aggressively because I think it is something that this region can win in. You know, I have not seen a city yet that doesn't have biosciences as a target industry, and it's because the wages are so high. But, you know, in the last few years with the expansion of Sanofi and the Ventana Roche work that's done there, their expansions, and then many of the smaller companies that have grown out of the University of Arizona and all that, it's really a building block that we need to be aggressive with. We just led a delegation to San Diego, and the primary purpose was to see what San Diego has done to embrace those entrepreneurs and to grow this industry. And if we can you know, shorten our learning process and apply some of that here, you know, it accomplishes what we're really after, and that's creating wealth. And I think that when I talk about the scientific and technical talent we have here, that's a game changer. So we're bullish on it as well. You know, I think there's sometimes too much emphasis put on recruiting companies, but, you know, it's time that we embrace growing our own as well, and growing biotech companies has to be the tip of the spear for us.
Joe Snell is with us. He heads up Trio, and he has since the mid 2000s. What was it about when you came in? Was it 2006?
Late 2005.
Well, when you look back to what when you took over Trio, it's really a different model. You're using everything from your board to kind of the way you govern. Correct?
Yes. Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that,
well,
how that changed.
You know, when the Blue Ribbon panel decided that they needed a group like Trio to act as a coordinator among the various entities that were promoting this region and the attempt to create a competitive economy, when that was started, we were birthed really by the city and the county, and they funded about 90% of everything we do. But as you know, the economy is driven by various sectors, so we're much more balanced. We are now governed by a 54-member board, including, you know, both presidents of the U of A and ASU and nonprofits and government and a large healthy dose of the private sector. They represent the vast majority of our funding and who sits at the table. So we're a much more balanced organization. It's flipped our funding dramatically, where we're predominantly majority of our funding is privately funded, and we need all those sectors, but we're not all our eggs are in one basket with one sector or anything like that. It's a real balanced approach. I would say this: you won't find another organization like us because no other organization can bring together all the major employers in Southern Arizona, all chief executives, whatever sector they come from, working towards a single mission, and that's the improvement of this economy. So it's a unique model, unique organization that has attracted a, the people that can really reshape everything here.
And we've enjoyed meeting those people and hearing from them in our CEO interview series presented by TRIO. These are people that the folks in the media usually don't spend a lot of time interviewing, but these are the people who are making many of the major decisions in this community.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, and have a great afternoon.
You too.
Thanks a lot. Joe Snell, President and CEO of Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities. We will continue with the Buckmaster Show as we come up now on 1244.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Twelve 12:48 on the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of our program brought to you by Adobe House Antiques. Specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art, Adobe House Antiques, housed in a beautiful Jostler-designed building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. Well, at the recent annual Economic Outlook Luncheon, sponsored by the Economic Club of Phoenix, three ASU economists painted a brighter picture for the Arizona economy. One of those economists joins us now on the Buckmaster Show, live line from Tempe, Dr. Dennis Hoffman. He's professor of economics and directs the economic research at the W.P. Carey School of Business. Dr. Hoffman, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I am doing very well, and the economy seems to be looking up. And what are some of the reasons for the optimism?
Well, Bill, it's been a long haul, as everybody knows. This has been a brutal, going on 5 years now, in the nation and certainly in the state. But we are on a we're certainly stabilized, and we're on an upward trajectory. So we based our forecasts on a number of different inputs: national forecasters, some local modelers. So we survey forecasters, as well as doing some of our own modeling work. And what we see is stabilization in the Arizona economy, some real bright spots. There's always concerns and worries, but there's definitely bright spots. And the one that is shining as bright as it's been in years is our real estate sector seems to be warming up relatively rapidly.
Arizona, though, still, I believe, leads the nations in foreclosures, so that's got to be a big issue.
Well, the foreclosure statistics are improving by the month. So Bill, I really think the doom and gloom that we hear sometimes and from the sector is overdone. I think that housing prices have clearly stabilized and are in improving. And for those looking to buy homes in certain areas at certain prices, there's nothing available for them. They can, you know, they bid and are outbid by others. And some of this is investor driven, clearly, but it's a very different type of investor sentiment, I think, than the kind of the frothy, a vaporized investor of 2005 and 2006. These are people that are looking to put folks in these homes and earn rental incomes, and I think it's just much more stable than that froth that we saw in the mid-2000s.
We're talking with Dr. Dennis Hoffman. He's professor of economics and directs the economic research at the W.P. Carey School of Business, and he was among three ASU economists who recently talked about the national and the state economic picture at the Economic Club of Phoenix. And one of the areas that you touched on in that address was job growth. In 2010, I believe Arizona was 49th in the rate of job growth. Has that been picking up?
Oh, it's much better. We're top 10 over the last 4 or 5 months. We've been in the top 10. No, it is, Bill, it's definitely the case that this is not the robust 4%, 5%, and 6% year-over-year job growth that we have come to accept and expect in the state. This is still anemic by historical standards. But when one compares our job growth with job growth across the nation, we're in the top 10, and we have been now for, I think, the last 5 or 6 months.
Doug Ducey, the state treasurer, was with us on Monday, and he was talking about sales receipts coming into his office looking very positive, and he says the consumer sentiment will improve as this kind of trickles down to the rest of the economy. Would you agree with Mr. Ducey?
According to the data that I have, I think sentiment has already warmed substantially, and I would base my statement on the purchase of consumer durables in the state, which is now going on, I think, almost 18 months of year-over-year double-digit growth in automobile sales. Now, we had a dearth of automobile sales for about 3 or 4 years, but they are improved dramatically over where they were 2 years ago, and we're continuing to build this spring over a pretty good spring of 2011. So people don't buy automobiles. They don't make major consumer durable purchases unless they're increasingly confident about the future of the economy.
The national debt, though, has to be an issue, doesn't it?
I think the debt is a concern. People have been pointing to the last 3 or 4 years of debt accumulation. Bill, my concern is not the last 3 or 4 years because this is the worst recession since the Great Depression. If you look at this historically, in times of crisis, debt to GDP rises dramatically. Probably more concerning is the lack of a plan 10, 20, 30 years down the road to address the issue. The lack of a plan to deal with unbridled entitlement plan spending, and coupled with clearly the hesitancy and the refusal to raise any revenue or raise any taxes to pay these bills. So if you're not going to stop spending and you have no plan to raise any taxes, it is worrisome.
Dennis Hoffman is with us on the Buckmaster Show, and perhaps you saw that op-ed piece in Monday's Wall Street Journal, Three Views of the Fiscal, we're talking about F-I-S-C-A-L, Cliff, by Edward Lazar, the former chair of the President's Council on Economic Advisers from 2006 to 2009. And he says the evidence suggests that we should move away from worry over the impending fiscal cliff and focus more heavily on concern about raising taxes. Would you agree with that generally?
Well, I did read Ed Lazier's thoughtful article, and I think it laid out the issues really quite well. I personally don't believe that modest increases in taxes would crater this economy, and I would base my claim on history. This economy has grown by leaps and bounds with far higher tax rates in place than the rates that are currently in place. So I think a modest increase in taxes would not hurt the economy. I think that, frankly, we ought to do little to close the deficit in the next year or two, because a shock to the economy would be bad, and a fiscal shock would be bad, either by raising taxes or dramatically cutting spending. But what we do need to do is to send everybody the signal, all of us, the signal that in the future, here's how we're going to fix the problem, and that's through entitlement reform and a plan to pay for what entitlements remain. So Bill, my point is really simple. Arizona takes in and is taking in about $65 billion right now from the federal government, and we're sending them about $40. So that's a net injection of about $25 billion into a $250 billion economy. And those are dollars that that fund jobs at Raytheon, that fund jobs at Boeing, that pay Social Security and Medicare. Those are direct dollars that result in jobs. They support people's jobs and salaries. So if we adjust that dramatically too quickly, it would be an adverse shock to the economy.
We've got about 2 minutes to go here with Dr. Dennis Hoffman from ASU, professor of economics. What about California is a mess right now economically? Is that going to help Arizona in the long run?
Well, in the long run, we've certainly have benefited over the years from net domestic in-migration from states like California. It's slowed a bit in the last few years, but the models suggest that it will pick up. I think that there are a number of people that enjoy living in the climate of a Californian and enjoy some of the lifestyle, but they don't enjoy a dysfunctional state political system and a very challenged fiscal environment over there, where they've clearly made legacy promises in the form of entitlements to their state and local workers without sufficient ability to pay the bills. You know, it strikes me that the simplest solution here is to do a better job of aligning the costs and benefits of government. So if we're going to be spending on things in government, we ought to be at the same time asking people to pay for them. We'll find out right quick, Bill, how much government people really want.
In the remaining few seconds, we are winding down our program today, but we want to thank you. And it looks, from what you're saying, things after a very, very difficult 5 years, there is light at the end of the tunnel and perhaps beyond.
Indeed there is, Bill. I think things will be better, and you know, people that invest in this state right now are going to be very pleased that they did 5 years down the road.
Dennis, thanks a lot. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, and you as well.
Dr. Dennis Hoffman, a professor of economics at ASU, want to remind you that this portion of the Buckmaster Show has been brought to you by our friends at Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Of course, tonight is the CD8 debate. We have live coverage planned for you at 7 o'clock on KVOI, AM 1030, and we'll have live streaming of the event at KVOI.com. I will be there at the Jewish Community Center to kind of kick things off. Then we will hear from the three candidates in the event presented by the Arizona Daily Star and the Jewish Community Center. Remember, the doors open at 6 o'clock. It's basically the first 500 folks will be seated. First come, first serve. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.